You know, it's thunderstorming outside. I'm so happy to see all of you who braved the floods and the lightning and all of the branches. So good to see you all. Welcome to our launch service here at Asbury United Methodist Church. Let's stand and worship together. But before we sing, say hello to somebody around you that you haven't seen and find a new face and shake their hand. Here we go. I know all you folks. I know all you folks. All right, let's stand and worship together.
All I see is the battle. You see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds.
Battle belongs to you.
The battle belongs to you. So this next one we have not done in this room before. It's called Where I'm Standing Now. But if you pick up on it, please join us in singing it. It goes like this.
Out of the wilderness, into your deliverance, look where I'm standing now. These hands that
Good morning, and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. It is good to be in God's house with you this morning. Clearly, I am not Hammett or Nick. Today is Laity Sunday, and I'm Amy Livers. I will be preaching for you this morning and making announcements. So, to the announcements that you guys need to be aware of, we're on the screen before church, but just in case you missed them, we would appreciate it if you would register your attendance. There's a QR code that you can use to let us know that you're here. Next Sunday, we will be serving at Stone Soup from 1:30 until 4 o'clock. The youth are always very faithful to serve there, but if anyone else would like to join them, the more hands, the lighter the work. The 23rd will be Trunk or Treat from 4 to 6, and we still need a few things from y'all. We specifically need baked goods for the cakewalk, and you can just bring those to Trunk or Treat when you come. We need candy. You can leave that in the office by Nicole's door, or really in the bullpen. Ashley will find it. Someone will make sure it gets to where it needs to be. We also need volunteers, not just people to host trunks, but people to man some of the other games, supervise the bounce houses, and just generally be available to help wherever needed. You can sign up for a shift. Hannah Shelton will be in the back to answer any questions or to sign you up. And also, we have these nifty yard signs. They are in the back by the back doors, so pick one up on your way out. They really work, you guys. We were driving to school the other day, and Ira commented on the fact that, hey, that's our church. So publicize this. This is not just for us. It's intended to be an event that invites the community in to get to know us and to have some fun with us. There will be a new women's Bible study beginning on October 30th. It'll be from 4 to 6. I believe this one is, they will be studying Philippians. And you can contact Jenny Curris for more information. And I think, one more thing. You've probably noticed there's a table in the back where the Boy Scouts are selling popcorn. If you haven't already, stop by and support our Scout troop. That's another one of those fun partnerships that we are blessed to get to host a group, some from Asbury, some not, but they meet here at the church, and we are happy to support them as they raise money to support their activities. Now, please join me in prayer. Father, we gather together from our own homes and with our own concerns. We have people we love who are heavy on our hearts, specifically Clifford Smith, June Glazier, Barbara Clark, Val Carr, Megan Arnold, Joyce Dennis, Jean Hammett, Mark Schimmer, David Hickman, Mary Curtis, and the survivors of Hurricane Ivan. We know, Lord, that you are with each of these. We pray that this morning they will feel an extra measure of your grace and love and peace. And now, as your people who have gathered together to worship you, we will pray the Lord's Prayer together, remembering how Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and continue to worship with us this morning.
Hope be my anthem, Lord, when the world has fallen quiet, you stand beside me.
Psalm 13, 5 and 6 says, "But I have trusted in your salvation. My heart rejoices in your loving kindness. I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully for me, with me." That's why we sing, and that's also why we give. So as we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, I want to remind you that there is one particular way you can give beyond just your financial gifts. Remember that we are having a Pastor's Pantry Knockout competition. Join me as we pray. Father, we thank you for being a God who cares for your people and for being a God who provides. Help us, Father, to be generous with what you have given us and use our gifts to bless those around us and to further your kingdom. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
To walk humbly
This time, my favorite time of the service, it's children's moments, y'all. So if you are a child or even a child at heart, Steve Fisher, get up here. I'm kidding. We're going to have a children's moment with Nicole.
Can you show them to us? What color are they, Bennett? Green and red. I love it. Well, how are y'all? Tired? You look sleepy. Did the rain make you tired? No, it didn't. No? Do what? You had a party. Okay, the truth is out. Yeah, that'll do it. Okay, who likes to go on trips? Who likes to go on vacations and trips and travel places? Yeah. Does anyone want to tell me where you've gone before?
Florida.
Florida? Ooh. You want to tell me where you've gone? I think you went to Disney World. Did you go to Disney World? That's pretty cool. Anybody else want to tell me? You're going on a trip. Where are you going? Memphis. That's so fun. Well, to the zoo. Well, I love to go on trips, but sometimes going on trips can be a little nerve-wracking or maybe make us a little scared because we don't know what's going to come, right? Well, Miss Amy, who's sitting right there, is going to be preaching for us today. Hi. And she is, you're going to the beach? Oh, that's so cool. Are you going to take all of us with you? You're going to just chill? Shells. Yes. Well, you're going to chill probably too. And find shells. Well, Miss Amy is going to read Psalm 121 to us this morning. That's so cool. Big shells. That is so cool. And Psalm 121 is actually a song that the Israelites sang when they were going on a trip. They were taking a long trip to Jerusalem so that they could go worship God. And guess what? Their trip was kind of scary, a little dangerous sometimes, but they sang that psalm, Psalm 121, over and over again to give them hope and so that they knew that God would always be with them. So I'm not going to read it to you because Miss Amy's going to read it to us in just a minute, but I do want to tell you my favorite part. My favorite part says, "My help comes from the Lord." What do you think that means? My help comes from the Lord. What do you think that means? It's okay. Anybody else want to take a guess? Well, for me, what it makes me think is that no matter what, when I need help, if I'm scared, if I'm on vacation, if I'm at home, if I need help, who's going to help me? God's going to help me. So I want you to remember that part with me. So we're going to try to say it all together. Now in the first service, the kids wanted everyone in the congregation to say it with them. What do you think? Should we make them all say something? Okay. So we're going to say, in just a minute, we're going to say, "My help comes from the Lord." Will you remember it? Okay, ready? On the count of three. Are y'all ready out there? Okay. They're going to be listening. All right, ready? One, two, three. My help comes from the Lord. Good job. So maybe next time you're feeling a little nervous or maybe you're scared, you can remember that. My help comes from the Lord, because that's what Miss Nicole likes to do. All right, will you pray with me? All right. Dear God, you promised to go with us, and we thank you so, so much for that. We know that you are always with us and that you will continue to be there for us through the ups and the downs. We love you very much. Amen.
Psalm 121, a song of ascent. I will lift my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So reading scripture as I am walking up the steps very slowly and trying not to fall because I foolishly chose to wear really tall shoes. It's a little unorthodox, but there's a reason behind it. Psalm 121, our scripture reading for today, is what's called a song of ascent. And it's kind of been lost to history exactly how this psalm was used by the Jews in worship. But one of the theories is that it was actually part of their corporate worship service, that as the priests ascended the steps of the temple, these psalms, Psalm 120 through 134, were actually sung as they ascended. The story that I like and that rings true to me is that these songs were pilgrim songs, that as the Jews traveled up to Jerusalem for their feasts, there were three major feasts that they would travel to Jerusalem for. In the spring, the Jews would travel to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. In the summer, they would go to celebrate Pentecost, and then in the fall, they would go for the Feast of Tabernacles. And because Jerusalem was literally the highest city, they would actually have to ascend the mountain to reach the city. So as they were traveling up to Jerusalem, they would sing. God's people have always communicated with God and with each other through song. When God delivered the Hebrews from slavery in Egypt and they walked through the sea on dry land, Moses and Miriam responded by leading the people in song. Before Moses died, God actually told him to write a song and teach it to his people. Moses' song recounted everything that God had done, how he had dealt with his people, how he had protected them, corrected them, defended them, how he kept them. We know that David sang songs to God and that much of the Psalms were written by him. Some of them, it's pretty obvious, he wrote while he was out in the fields tending to his sheep. Others, we know, were written in times of great corporate celebration when God had given Israel great victories, or as he was leading the people in celebration when the temple was finally completed and they could go to the house of the Lord. Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." One of the first verses I ever learned as a kid, still one of my favorites. It's a psalm of ascent. So those Psalms 120 through 134 held a special place in their worship. We know that Isaiah sang songs. There are laments in his prophecy that we now call the servant songs. They described the coming suffering servant who would save God's people. In the Gospels, Mary's song of praise, when God told her that she would be the one to bear the Messiah, is recorded for us. God's people communicate to him and to each other in song. The Psalms became sort of a hymnal for the Israelites and for the early Christians. They sang these songs as they went about their daily life, and they sang them in their corporate worship. The songs shaped them and formed them as God's people. These songs reminded them of who God is and what he has done, what he is doing, what he has promised to do for them. These songs reminded the Israelites and the early Christians and us of our shared experience and our shared history, and they bind us together. So as the Israelites were making their pilgrimage, climbing up from Jerusalem, it's easy to picture just a lone pilgrim walking on this path, right? But again, remember, all of God's people were called to go up to Jerusalem for this feast. So this was not a solitary journey. The road would have been crowded with travelers. It would have been noisy. It would have been chaotic. And yet, as they traveled, they sang. And as they sang, they were remembering and retelling and reenacting in their songs and in the rituals of the feast what God had done for them. So let's look at the text. Psalm 121 is a reminder that God keeps, or that word in Hebrew that we translate as keep, actually means to guard. So God keeps or guards his people. As they were ascending to Jerusalem, they would look at the mountains ahead and around them and remember that the same God who created those mountains and who called Israel as a people was with them. And I want you to also listen as we read to how many times that word is repeated. Anytime in Scripture that you hear a word or a phrase repeated verbatim over and over again, the writer, God, is trying to get your attention. This is the point. This is what this is all about. So listen and see how many times that the psalmist says, "The Lord keeps. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." As the pilgrims were traveling, they would inevitably stumble, whether they tripped because they weren't paying attention, which is what tends to happen when my family goes on hikes, or because they're tired and were simply too tired to keep going. But the psalmist reminds us that God keeps us and that he doesn't get tired and that he does not sleep. He is always watching. Verses 5 and 6, "The Lord is your protector." Again, that word protector, same word. "The Lord is your protector. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not beat down on you by day, nor the moon by night." To us in our modern society who travel by cars, that sounds a little weird, but sunstroke and actually an illness called moonstroke was a very real threat to people who were traveling on a long journey by foot. The heat could harm them. The moonlight could harm them. Daylight has its own particular challenges and perils, so does darkness. This kind of evokes that idea of how God was with the Hebrews when they left Egypt, the pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke. Again, that imagery of day and night, God is with his people, and he is guarding them and protecting them. Verses 7 and 8, "The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul." Again, there is no mystery there. It means what it says it means. God guards his people and protects their lives. "The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." Everywhere and always, God guards his people. Everywhere and always, he is with us. So for Jesus and his ancestors, these songs that they sang for the three times a year that they ascended to Jerusalem to worship, and that they sang as they went about their everyday lives, these psalms became ingrained in their identity and in their relationship with God. And these psalms can shape us and ingrain us as well. There's something about music and poetry that sticks, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. When a song comes on the radio that reminds you of, I don't know, riding around with your best friend in high school. In that moment, you not only remember, but it's kind of like you're back there, right? Songs evoke memories, and they remind us of our shared experiences. I told the first service group that Bella has been memorizing the 23rd Psalm in school, and she was a little surprised when she started quoting it in the car on the drive to school, and I started saying it with her. She was surprised because she didn't know I knew that. And I told her that I memorized the 23rd Psalm when I was Ira's age. And even now, when I hear or recite those words, I'm 9 years old sitting in Aunt Mert's Sunday school class. It's not only a reminder of the God who gave us those promises that he would be with us, but it's a reminder of all of the people he's placed in my life and who have shown me and taught me how to love and to serve him. Talking about the little bitty church I grew up in, our actual songs do the same thing. Last Sunday, I asked my Sunday school class, what's your favorite hymn? And every one of them could name a song, would usually start singing it, and then they would tell me the story of what happened or with whom they sang it that made that song meaningful to them. When I sing the songs that I grew up singing in church, again, it's that shared sense of I'm not just singing today's praises to God, but when I sing, I am hearing and singing with the people who taught me to sing those songs. And when I go home, and we are in the same place at the same time singing those songs together, that experience is made even richer by our shared history and our shared love. And that's what the Psalms offer to us. This experience of we have been worshiping God together. We have been serving God together. God has called us together to be a people. And that shared history and those shared experiences shape us and form us, and they matter. In his book, Answering God, Eugene Peterson wrote, all the Psalms are prayers in community, people assembled, attentive before God, participating in a common posture, movement, and speech, offering themselves and each other to their Lord. Prayer is not a private exercise, but a family convocation, where we put our knees on level with other bent knees. I'm not saying that God is not with us when we are worshiping privately or reading scripture privately, but I am saying there is something special about coming together in the same time, in the same place, in this place, as the people of God. Few of us will actually go on a pilgrimage, but we do get to make a symbolic journey every week. For the Jews, it was a literal journey up to Jerusalem. For us, every Sunday, our worship, as the acolytes bring in the torch and light the candles, as the pastors process in, that's not just something we do because it's always been done or because it looks cool or whatever. That is supposed to be a picture of God's people actually coming into the presence of our holy God. For us, our ascent is a life lived upwards towards God. It begins individually when we leave our homes and come to gather here. And when we come together in God's holy presence, when we move into his presence, God is present with us and we are present with him in a special way as we gather to worship. Pilgrimage is not a solitary journey. And it's not a silent journey. God has given us songs to sing. Songs for getting us to where God is leading us in Christ. The Psalms are a gift to train us in prayer and in praise, to make us always mindful of our God who protects us. When we stumble, whether it's because we're not paying attention or because we're tired, God keeps us. He is always watching. He is never tired. God keeps us from physical dangers day and night. God guards his people against all harm. Everywhere and always, God guards his people. Even when it looks like God is not guarding, or that he has fallen asleep on the job, maybe even especially when it feels like he's not with us and he's not actually protecting us, those are the times when we can look at the mountains and ask, where does my help come from? God invites us to cry out to him and know that he will give us eyes to see. My help comes from the Lord. Eugene Peterson wrote, "We Christians believe that life is created and shaped by God, and that the life of faith is a daily exploration of the constant and countless ways in which God's grace and love are experienced." And so, I ask you, how is God shaping and training you? Where is he leading you to explore his grace and love? The same God who created mountains is inviting you on this journey with him. And I ask us as a church, how is God shaping and training us as a community? Where is he leading us to explore his grace and his love together? The same God who created the mountains is inviting us into good works that he has prepared for us beforehand. I encourage you to spend some time with the Psalms. These songs are a gift to us. They are prayers to pray when we don't have the words. They give us words to express our joy and our sorrow, our confusion, our anger, our frustrations. They give us permission to bring that all to God. And they give us the words to praise him when he is faithful. They remind us that he is faithful, and they give us the words when our words fail. So spend some time with them this week. Whether you want to choose one and sit with that one psalm all week, or if you want to read a different one each day. But just spend some time with the words of fellow pilgrims who learned to wrestle with and trust in God's faithful love. I personally use the Daily Office. I love systems, but I don't have time to create my own. And so, but the beauty of that is that when I am reading the Psalms of the Daily Office, I know that believers all over the world are reading those exact words, praying that particular psalm with me. So it's a reminder that I'm not on this journey alone. And not only do I have my Asbury family with me on this journey, but that God's people are even bigger than that. I'd love to see, and this is something we could pray about as a congregation, I would love to see us do this together, to commit to this practice together, because I really believe that the Psalms and that meditating and praying and gathering, that anything we do that actually puts us physically in the same place, at the same time, praying the same words to God, is special and has power and is transformative for us. Let's explore the constant and countless ways that God's grace and love are experienced. We're each on a pilgrimage of sorts. God is with each one of us, but also he gives us each other. We're on this journey, but we're not alone. And I am so very thankful to be on this journey with all of you. Thanks be to God. Now, speaking of journeys, in the little Baptist church I grew up in, we would actually ask people to walk the aisle if they wanted to join our congregation. No one's going to ask you to do that, although if you want to, we will be happy to greet you here and welcome you in. So, this is your invitation. If you are looking for a group of people to walk through this pilgrimage with, to journey with you in God's love and protection, to serve with, to worship with, we would love to have you join us. So, this is your invitation. Come. Sorry, I didn't give you quite enough time, did I, Caleb?
No, it's all right. Please stand and join us in our last song this morning.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing.
mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Sing that again, no shadow. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Serve a God whose love is never ending. We can rejoice in our salvation because our God is trustworthy. He is with us and He keeps us. I hate to kind of kill the mood. I have a couple of announcements just to remind us of some things that are coming up. Next Sunday, Brother Nick will be preaching. We'll be in Genesis 3. He told me it's a pretty dramatic contrast to what we were talking about today. I'd like to thank our staff, Nicole for the children's message, the worship team for leading us so well. I don't have any more words for that. Do remember, if you want to sign up to help with Trunk or Treat, Hannah will be in the back. And I think that is all of the announcements. You guys, thank you for being here. It is so good to be with y'all in God's house. Blessing. As you leave from here and go back to your homes on your own journey, to come back together on our pilgrimage together, receive this blessing. All-powerful God, you always show mercy toward those who love you, and you are never far away from those who seek you. Be with your servants on this pilgrimage and guide their way according to your will. For the people of God, may God be a companion for you along your journey, a guide at the crossroads, your strength in weariness, a defense before dangers, your shelter on the way, your shade against the heat, your light in the darkness, a comforter in discouragements, firmness in intentions, and all of this in order that God's guidance, that He will guide us home safe, enriched with graces and virtues. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless and keep you all.